folks, I don't know what's happening exactly, but every time I go back to A. Enoch's book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, to continue in chapter 14 of the unveiling, I just can't do it. I'm repulsed by it. And this is the first time this has happened in a year and a half. Many of you said you liked the videos I made at the end of last week. I appreciate that. It was an act of God because, again, it's impossible for me to go into Revelation right now. I mean, okay, it's not impossible. Okay, look, I could get the book here. I could start reading chapter 14, verse 14, and talk about the two divisions of this temple section of the unveiling. So, okay, it's not impossible. But my heart's not in it. My spirit's not in it right now. It's a temporary thing. So I followed my heart on the matter. It's a figure of speech. I'm not chasing around my ventricles, but last week I made what I felt like. I recorded what I felt like recording. I'm not saying I don't want to record. I'm not saying I don't like to record. I like to talk to you, but I just can't do it on Revelation right now. So in the meantime, I think, you know, we're doing okay. Many of you have said, I like your trails you're going on. Other of you, some of you say, where's Revelation? Sorry about that. You just have to tune out. I don't have it right now. And this is interesting, too, that sometimes you're not sure whether something is of God or of Satan. Somebody could say, Zender, that's just Satan trying to sidetrack you. Could be true. Somebody else could say, well, it's the Spirit of God leading you in another direction. That could be true also, which brings me to a disturbing conclusion that I want to discuss with you. Sometimes it is hard to tell the difference between what Satan does and what God is doing, which seems incredible because Satan is the most vile, evil, being in the universe, and God is the most pristine, brilliant, beautiful, wonderful, magnificent, loving being in the universe. So you have the most hateful, the ugliest, the most wonderful, the most beautiful, and I can't really tell who's operating here, God or Satan. And this is why, isn't this crazy? This is, I can tell you, I think, how I cure this problem. But the reason this problem exists in the first place is because God is operating all things according to the counsel of his own will. We know this. And so all things includes good things and bad things, right? This sneeze, for instance, excuse me, man, that sneeze was of God. He's operating all things. So nothing happens on this planet except good or evil. There's no in between. It's either good or it's bad. It ain't so-so. If it's so-so, it's good. You see, even if you look for degrees in between good and evil, it's all of God. This is a fact. Now, I just have been ranting against the Pentecostal faith. I did it a month ago. I'm starting to see how evil it is. I'm starting to see that this is important, those people who were raised in the Pentecostal faith were spiritually hindered, and they had to work their way out of it by an act of God, and some have not completely worked their way out of it. Because you always have, not always, but a leftover, some kind of remnant of that experience where you are looking for the next miracle or you're looking for a sign. This is all due to satanic activity that is brought to us through the Pentecostal religion. Now we find out that Ted Cruz, running for president of these United States, is a closet Pentecostal, but it's a laundered affair. It's because he's hiding behind the Baptist church. But we saw his dad, clearly, his dad, Raphael, is standing there with Kenneth Copeland, who's the Pentecostal Grand Poobah, and they're plotting via 6 months spent in prayer. Wow, 6 months. They're plotting the rebirth of the United States. Well, they're not plotting it, but they think that God is bringing it to them via young Ted, because Ted prayed for 6 months. Come on. And then Heidi, Ted's wife, had the final word of the Lord, which was, look for God's head, not his hand, whatever that means. It's a Pentecostal thing. It doesn't mean anything. Look for his head, not his hand. Doesn't mean anything. It's gibberish. It's nonsense. Don't try to become spiritual by saying that you understand that. Oh, yes, I understand that. Sure, not his head. Look for his hand. Oh, yeah, not his hand. Look for his head. Whatever. I'm looking for his elbow. It's ridiculous. None of it makes sense. And then, of course, did you notice that in the video yesterday, the people started to get excited because Raphael raised his hands. Buddy, it's a physical cue. It's a cue. And when you raise your hands and somebody's voice starts to get excited, then the people get excited. And then that, in turn, excites the speaker more, which in turn incites the crowd more. And the crowd and the speaker become, they feed on each other. Back to my point at hand, I haven't lost it. That's a satanic activity. However, it's of God, right? It's of God. So the coming of Jesus Christ was of God, obviously, and the coming of Satan was of God. It's all of God. So I'm sitting here, I can't get into the book of Revelation. Is it God or is it Satan? Is it live or is it Memorex? You know, tastes great, less filling. Which is it, Ford or Chevy? I don't know, and here's the secret to understanding this and dealing with this in your own life. I don't care. Because it's ultimately of God. It's ultimately of God. But I'm still going to call evil, evil, what I sense to be evil. I can't sense everything. I'm not all-knowing, all-sensing. So if I think something's evil like the Pentecostal church, I'm going to tell you that it's evil. And if I think something's good like Rocky Road ice cream, I'm going to tell you that it's good. But it could turn evil. Rocky Road ice cream tastes good, but then it turns evil because it goes to your waist or your ass if you're a woman or your hips. I'm sorry. But then it becomes an evil. So the same thing can be good and evil. I always use the cross as an example. Was it terrible? Yes. Was it fantastic? Yes. So what are you going to do? Was it of God? Yes. Was it of Satan? Yes. Ay. What are we going to do? I think we camp around all is of God. That's the only thing I know how to do. And somebody got upset at me for, it was a good friend of mine, but she got upset at me for coming against the Pentecostal church. Well, let me just say this. She did not get upset. I love this woman dearly. She did not get upset, but she was questioning. She goes, Martin, I can't understand. Why are you rebuking the Pentecostal religion since you believe all is of God? And I get this all the time. It's an easy answer for me. All is of God. And again, nothing happens except good things and evil things. And yet we're supposed to, as I'm supposed to, as a herald of this message, I follow Paul's orders, expose, rebuke, and entreat, 2 Timothy 4:2, with all patience and teaching, expose and rebuke. So I'm supposed to expose evil. Here's an example. The Pharisees, they were evil people. And Jesus Christ rebuked them. He called them hypocrites. He called them a brood of vipers. He called them whitewashed tombs. Roundly rebuked them. Is it not true that the Pharisees were raised up by God? Yes. Is it not true that they were Israelites? Yes. And is it not true that God hardens the heart of Israel nationally? Yes. So the mistaken thinking is that since God brought it about, therefore we can't complain about it because God brought it. And we're getting into this good-evil mentality then. Well, God brought it, so we can't do anything about it because it's of God. But evil is of God too. Evil is also of God. God brings evil, this is my thinking on it, God brings evil so that someone such as myself or you can expose it and rebuke the people putting it forward. God raises up these denominations in Christianity on purpose so that a guy like me has something to do, so that somebody like me can say, that's evil. How can you say that's evil? God brought it. Well, if we use that as a rule of thumb for our lives, then we can never rebuke our children. We can never train our children or discipline our children. The children could just use as a defense. They can say, Jesus made me do it. God made me do it. You can't touch me. God made me do it. Well, God may have made you do it, but you're going to your room for 3 hours. God made me do that too. That's what I say to people. God made those people evil. Okay, well, he made me rebuke the evil people. So God does all these things. Paul rebuked Bar-Jesus, the Jewish magician, in Acts chapter 13 on the island of Cyprus because that lunatic Jew was keeping the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, from understanding Paul's gospel. So Paul called him a son of the adversary, which is a good one. I'm going to start using that. Enemy of all righteousness. I need that one too. You enemy of all righteousness. Then he says this, how long will you continue to pervert the straight ways of the Lord? That's a little more involved. Not sure I'm going to get into that noise, but I like it. So Paul and Jesus, these are my people. I look toward them as examples of what to do. They took down the evil institutions. They took them down. Oh, I forgot to mention, Paul blinded that guy, Bar-Jesus. I'm not quite that good yet, but I'm working on it. But the point is, these people have been raised up by God. But we still call it what it is. Now, back to this dichotomy that we deal with. Is it God or is it Satan? Let's just... Boy, I'm still troubled by it. Because on one hand, I'm a fan of recognizing evil. We have to recognize it, to call it out, to expose it and rebuke it. So I'm a fan of saying this is of Satan. I'm a fan of that. This is of Satan. And it comes back to relative absolute truth. It is of Satan, whatever this hypothetical thing is I'm talking about. It is of Satan, which is ultimately of God. So there's my answer. And people are irritated that I keep coming back to this, but I can't help it. This is the answer. It's the difference between relative and absolute truth. Relative truth, the root word is relate. I'm relating something to another thing. It's being compared to something. Absolute truth, there's no comparison. It stands alone. It's not being related to anything. It stands as not answerable to anything. God is over everything. Over everything. Now, under that umbrella of God's total control, we do deal with good and evil things. But that still leaves me wondering why I can't get back to chapter 14. I could say, well, it's my flesh because it looks complicated. I just don't want to deal with it. But that hasn't stopped me before. There have been many difficult chapters and difficult passages, and I've just, boom, gone, jumped into it. I can't do it now. So am I sensitive of spirit? Am I listening to that still small voice? I like to think so, yes. I like to think that God doesn't want me to do that in these few days when I haven't been doing it. And whether he uses Satan or God does it directly, I'm going to attribute it to God. That's another key. Attribute it to God. I could say, well, okay, this thing is of Satan. Let's just say that. Satan's keeping me from doing this. Satan is withstanding me. So what? He withstands me every day. So Satan is withstanding me. Satan wants to keep me from continuing right now into chapter 14 of this book. But God has sent Satan, caused him to afflict me right now at this time for this purpose, so that God can produce something better because of it, through it, at the outcome of it. That's where I'm staying. That's beautiful, what I just said there. That's fantastic. Go ahead and recognize Satan's work. I'm just going to say, this is of Satan. Satan is withstanding us. He's keeping me from continuing in the Revelation series, which I want to complete and God wants to complete. However, therefore, we're recognizing evil. We're not being stupid and saying everything's good around the yellow brick road of Revelation. There are evil things that happen. The Pentecostal church, it's of God, but it's evil. It's Satan brought it. But God brought it through Satan so that he can give me something to rebuke, so that he can create a vehicle for Ted and Heidi Cruz, say, to become president and first lady of the United States, so that Ted can go against the Islamists, the radical Islam, ISIS, and those people, so that the West can unite under a happy little Christian head, so that the wild beast can be formed, so that this system and this country can go down, so that Christ's kingdom may come. You can keep going, so that Christ's kingdom will end, and the new heavens and new earth will be ushered in, so that God may be all in all. I mean, how far do you want to go? That's as far as I can take you. 1 Corinthians 15:28, so that God can be all in all. What more do you want? That's what all this is leading toward. God uses Satan. Don't think he can't use him in your life. He does. And God uses happy things like Jesus. Jesus can come down in your life and give you a little tailwind, give you a little push along the way of life. And your life will go swell for a day or two. But then that could be Satan too. Because Satan makes things go well so that you get distracted, so that you go off the track. Sorry, Jesus, but I can't tell the difference between your works and Satan. Sorry, but I'm saying that to credit you, actually. Why I'm pointing at the camera, Jesus is, he could be. Jesus can be located somewhere. I don't know where he is. God's in heaven, Jesus, I don't know. Could be sitting right next to me. But I think what ultimately pleases him is that his father gets credit for it all. Not blame, credit. And that God uses both good and evil to work his will, which is ultimately good. Yeah, I'll stick with that.